Sometimes we forget the power of a term called love. In most cases, more times than not, we misunderstand love. As human beings, we find ourselves so often loving situations until something goes wrong with that situation. We find ourselves, well, you know, I just really love that girl, I love that man, until they do something that doesn't please me. God's love is not measured the way human love is. You and I battle every day. The greatest battle we're having every day is our battle for us. We get up, we look in a mirror, and we don't, like you. I'm sorry, Larry, but I've got to walk around with you all day, but I don't like you. You see, we deal with reality. What's real? What hurts? We hurt one another. And the Lord said, I want you to understand love, but I want you to understand my type of love. I want you to understand that the love that I give to you is a love so powerful, you're never going to have to worry about anything. So if I don't have to worry about anything, why do I worry? My choice. My choice. I can either trust God in His Word or reject His Word, which simply means to end trust in God. God says, I love you, and I want to show you how much I love you. The love of God is an action, verb, noun, everything else. And you see, through all manner of speech, the love of God supersedes. So, God said, let me give you a love letter. Do you know that the Bible that we have is a love letter from God? Do you realize that that love letter from God that He has given to us, our generation, He said one generation is coming which will be that generation of the coming of His Son, Jesus. I will send the Messiah, Emmanuel, God with us. I'm going to send you the truth about love. And when love arrived, the bitterness and hatred of the recipients of that love turned on God. They would use God's name, they would quote God's scriptures, but they turned on God's Son. Jesus said, look, if you were serving my Father would have revealed to you who I am. So therefore, it's obvious that you do not serve my Father. There is in Scripture, in the New Testament, a verse that if this verse is all we had of the Word of God, it would be the mini Bible. This verse, John 3:16, the verse has 25 words in it. The first 12 words in that verse, for God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son. The first 12 stop at begotten. The 13th word is Son. And then there's 12 more. So the first 12 tells us about who God is. And it's separated by one word, God's Son. And the next 12 words there tell you about us and how God relates to us. For God so loved the world. When you talk about the love of God, don't you all get started on pulling in the human love. Because God just so loved. There's nothing above God's love. We're saved by grace through faith in Jesus. God loves us while we hated Him, despised Him, mocked Him, did all manner of evil against Him. God loved us, knowing that His Son was going to have to suffer our deserved hell when He came. Now that's love. You and I do not understand love. We don't even understand each other. We don't even understand ourselves. And we said that. You know, I just don't understand me sometimes. Well, all the loved ones and friends around you will let you know, I don't understand you most of the time, but I put up with you. God doesn't just put up with me. God loves me. See, that's the difference. God sees you and me as we will be with Him. And you can count it, He said, as though you're already here. Well, there's a list out there, and God made the list. He made this list, and I want you to know that whosoever means me. Whosoever. Look at your verse. Whosoever believes. I'm a whosoever. So I get excited because I made God's Christmas list. Of all the lists that I want to be attached to, it's the things of the world, the witness even of the world, is overpowering the witness of the church because we no longer allow the love of God to be our power. Whosoever believes in Him will never die. Oh, that whosoever believes. But Lord, my faith is weak. Mine isn't, Larry. Do you know the faith you have God gave you? Yeah, well, why don't He give me a little more? Well, He will as soon as you start using what He's already given you. God doesn't waste anything. And I guarantee you, there is not a life in existence today that God counted as waste. Whosoever will, let them come. Why aren't they coming? Why are churches closing their door? A lot has to do with us preachers. Sometimes we've decided we're just too tired. And then when God brings us under conviction, we're reminded of who it is we truly serve. And when I look at the cross and I witness the power of the one that hung on that cross, He got a little tired. What if He had quit anywhere on that journey? What if Jesus, while carrying that cross, even when He fell, you know good and well He had friends around, stay down, Jesus, stay down. No, He got back up and He showed us something. That He used a fellow man, Jesus in the human, 100%, 100% God, that He showed us about helping to carry the cross of others. Well, you know, I just got my hands so full, I don't have time for anything that you have to hand to me. You'll never hear that from Jesus. Here's something else, Christian. Here's something else, world. Even though you curse our Christ on the cross, you're Christ. All you need to do is listen to Him in your heart. You don't have to pay attention to us preachers. God said, I will reveal myself to you. And when we pay attention to the love and realize that Jesus had to take my hell and yours, it would take such love you and I could never possess as a human being. God knew that. Don't we understand if there had been any other way? Jesus prayed it in the garden. Father, if there's another way, I'd love to take it. Nevertheless, let your will be done. There was no other way. So Jesus, from the human standpoint, felt the fear of separating the body from the spirit. Had to. Because He feels everything that you and I felt. He has felt it all. Therefore, He had to conquer all. All the hurt, all the temptations, He had to conquer it. And He did it for us. So therefore, for God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in Him, should not perish, but have everlasting life. is a verse of pure love. And God says, I'm giving you the love in which to love me back. We don't know how to love. We have too many emotions involved in love. We have too much jealousy and bitterness in our heart to deal with true love. But Jesus says, true love has entered your heart. So if true love has entered my spirit, your spirit, we cannot use an excuse that we do not understand the love of God. God said, I put him in your heart. I am in here with you. We talk to all of those other 10 or 15 personalities you have. How come we're not talking to God? You know, I told myself yesterday. Do you do that often? Yep, I do. Sometimes I'm telling two or three of me. Multi-personality disorder, half one of us have it. God said, the greatest gift I can give you is that I conquer true love and give to you that love. What a Christmas gift! Baby Jesus in a manger. The power of heaven and earth come down for you and me. And God says, I love you. I know you're going to put him on a cross, but I will still allow the tree to grow that the cross will be made from. I know that you're going to place a crown of thorns upon his head, but I'll continue to let the thorn bush grow because I give you the freedom to love and the freedom to hate. I give you the freedom to be with me in heaven throughout eternity. And I give you the freedom to choose hell. It's your choice. I am your God. I love you. But the greatest thing or gift I can give you, you reject love. How could we come up with an excuse for rejecting the love of God? The Lord calls it a stepping on the blood of the Messiah and counting the blood of Jesus as naught, that the blood of Jesus doesn't matter. And that's what we say when we reject his love. It is his love that pulls us through any combat. The majority of the men in this church have seen more combat than a snotty-nosed little Marine like I was will ever see. And we knew at the end, love of God. The hope came from a power we don't understand. I trust that power because I've seen all the other powers. Does money change it? Nope. People will get money and then they get so afraid they don't know where to stuff it, to hide it. They can't enjoy because they have fixated on a thing. And Jesus says, here's what I want you to do. I want you to love me. Trust me. And when you love and trust me, I promise you that I will pour out the riches of heaven upon you. Not the money. Many of those that are wealthy yearn for peace. They try to buy it. You can't buy something that's not for sale. Love of God is a free gift. The world doesn't understand it. Why not? Because the majority of the time, Christians refuse to accept it. When I said yes to Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior of my life, I'm as saved as I'll ever be. And God spends my life that he has given me through his love, pulling me closer and closer to him. One day, the greatest blessing that I can ever hope for will be here. And Jesus will say, that's enough, Larry. Come on home. People say, oh, that's horrible. Gosh, folks, how much better do we want it than to leave this body in the arms of angels sent by God himself? I think that's pretty cool myself. I think the song, I'm just waiting for my ride. I think that's cool. Because it deals with my ride being the love of God. For God so loved Can there be anything more powerful than the love of God? Could there be a word that would be a helper for the word of God's love? See, the love of God can stand alone. And he tells you and he tells me, whosoever calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. Ultimate love. And then we worry about, after we've said yes to Jesus, we worry about our salvation from then on. I think, what in the world have we Christians done? When I realize that whosoever is me, and I've accepted the love of Christ, that he promises he will never leave me and never forsake me, and that nothing can pull me in hands, then why are I not about my Father's business? It is my Father's business, the only business that makes a difference. Our intellect will fall away. Our beauty, it gets all wrinkly, I guess. Our bones begin to ache. Our muscles, what we have, hurt. And we think, what happened? I got old. But you know something? A love that touched my heart as a child remains as strong today as it was when an 8-year-old snotty-nosed kid from Buffalo Hill, Kentucky said yes to Jesus. But the world, the journey of life takes its toll on us, doesn't it? I mean, we fall in so many gutters of life. We hit the ditch so often. But I remind you, Christians, has there ever been a time as a Christian that you call upon the Lord thy God and he didn't answer you? Well, I don't remember a couple of times here. No, that one is you're just upset because he didn't give you the answer you wanted to hear. I cannot be saved on a church roll. I cannot be saved just because I will have relatives and loved ones who will pray and pray for me and give me hope while traveling in that ditch. It doesn't work. It's a personal relationship with Jesus Christ. Religion drives me crazy. Christianity is a relationship, a personal relationship with Jesus. One verse, John 3:16, tells us that and said, I just so love you, so love you, that I've come to take your guilt, your hurt. As a Christian, do we hurt physically? Sure we do. It will rain on the just as well as the tornadoes will tear us up just like it will those who don't believe in Christ. Then what's the difference? John 3:16 and the 13th hooks us together. The first 12, all about God. The last 12, all about us. And the connect word is Son, who happens to be a person. He is God incarnate. Jesus is not dead. He talks to us. He walks with us. Do you know that even when we try to push him away, he will never leave us nor forsake us? But we still have free will. But I do not have the free will to take myself out of the hands of the Savior who sowed that love within me on the cross, the baby in a manger. From the manger to the cross, all those years, and 3 of them, his final years, you will see the ministry of God incarnate through his Son Jesus. And he left us a message. You're on my list. God doesn't even have to check it twice. We made the list. Whosoever believes. Can it be more than that? No, if it could be more than that, then would not we then be paying price for our sins? instead of Jesus, would we not then be blasphemous in the blood of Christ, saying, yeah, well, I got saved, but now I kept myself saved? No, you don't. I'm saved through the blood of the Lamb, a precious baby who went to the cross for you and me. You know what's interesting about the story? Do you know that nowhere in Scripture, nowhere to be found, will you find where we are told to acknowledge the birth of Christ? It's not there. But throughout Scripture, you will find that we are told by God to honor the one who was on the cross, the resurrection. When we take the Lord's Supper, it focuses on the body broken for us, the blood shed for whosoever will. It's all about Jesus. The only place the love is going to be powerful is through Him. Let's pray. Father, we do praise Your name, asking Your blessing as You touch each life. Forgive us, Father, for so many failures, the heartaches, Father, that we cause one another. Encourage us, Lord, that each one of us might be ready and willing to look and reach down in the ditch of life to help someone else, to spread Your love, Your truth, and to honor the name of Jesus. We ask that blessing now in Jesus' name. Amen.